The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio, your chance to have your say about whatever is on your mind today. You can text on 166177, email studio at manxradio.com. There were 7 new cases of COVID-19 testing yesterday. 59 active cases currently in the community, 208 people waiting for the result of a test, and 569 people going through the testing procedure today. From the vaccination dashboard, 64,150 first doses have been administered, 48,668 second doses. There are currently 4,387 people booked in over the next 7 days. The Department of Health and Social Care currently holding 12,745 shots of vaccine in stock. And because of that impromptu session yesterday at Chester Street, we're now up to 2,385 shots of Moderna have been administered across the Isle of Man. Still, the vast majority is the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine, and the Pfizer one is some 37%. Of vaccination so far. Did you go to that impromptu session yesterday? I wonder what, did you get a T-shirt or a cap or anything for it? Very impromptu, wasn't it? A bit like the promenade. Douglas Promenade completion is delayed by a month. It won't be finished next month. It's going to be, well, the end of September, they're saying. Department of Infrastructure confirmed this morning the project is now expected to go on until the end of September. Stop narrowing your eyes. Last Wednesday, Infrastructure Minister Tim Baker was on Man in Line, and he said the contractor was due to finish on time. So what's changed?
I have to go on the information that the contractor who's delivering this programme tells us, and that was the date they were working to at that point in time. They've now come back and said, we're not going to do that now. It's going to be end of September.
So what penalties will the contractor face?
So there's a proper NEC contract around all of the arrangements between the department and the contractor on this, and there's a value for each day that the scheme takes longer. So it's in the contractor's interest to get this finished. It's important that the public does understand that we are not paying more for this longer scheme. In fact, actually, the department is going to take some of the work on effectively to assist Aldin, and actually that is going to reduce the cost so to the public purse. So this is just about the end date, which we are all extremely keen to get finished now.
How is the department taking work on going to reduce the cost to the public? Will that not cost the taxpayer in terms of the DOI's man hours?
Because all the department will effectively be a subcontractor for those pieces of work. So if the department goes and lays some tarmac, for instance, or some block paving, it'll be remunerated by Aldin in the same way as it would do if any of the other subcontractors on the island were to do that work. And you know what we've actually got here is a contractor who's struggling for resource. They haven't got very many directly employed tradesmen. They're very reliant on subcontractors. Those subcontractors can either come from the island or they can come from elsewhere. The ones that are on the island are inundated with other more profitable work at the moment, so they would rather go and do that. And Aldin is struggling to gather resource from the UK. It has done very, very well in bringing some very hard working Romanian subcontractors over who are absolutely doing a superb job. But there's a limit to what they can do. So we're being pragmatic and saying, how do we collectively get this resolved? And the department can deploy resources that would have been doing other things, and Aldin will have to pay for that.
So what other things would the department have been doing? Is this going to affect other projects?
It will affect other projects, yes. So some of the road schemes, for example, around the island, there's quite a big paving programme going on at the moment. Paving is the technical term for road surfacing.
That's what's happening then. Are you surprised by this? If you're heading down Douglas Promenade right now, it seems Douglas Promenade is almost a metaphor for what we've been going on in the past 14, 15, 16, 17 months. It's bizarre. It doesn't look like anything like it used to look. And if you can imagine what Douglas Promenade used to look like, just try and pick the bones out of it when you're driving down it or walking down it, just to see what's what. How is it going to look in the end? Hats off, though, I have to say. Tim Baker, the Minister for Infrastructure, was, as soon as we knew about this, we put a request into Mr. Baker, and he was hot foot to the radio station. Never really shirks his responsibility. Interestingly enough, next Wednesday, Ray Harmer will be on Man in Light. Ray Harmer was the Minister of Infrastructure before Tim Baker. Ray Harmer is now policy and reform, but it would be interesting to see what Mr. Harmer thinks about where we are with the promenade. Bonzo's with us now. Hey, Bonzo.
Hi there.
What do you think of the promenade?
The promenade, a litany of things, I think. From what I gather, the promenade scheme was initially listed as a road improvement scheme, resurfacing scheme. And it was then something that got Christmas treed. Whilst you're doing that, perhaps we can do that, perhaps we can do that. And then somehow it then became this extensive work on the prom. Now, as part of that, with the expansion of the scope of it, one would have thought that there would have been an extensive ground radar mapping of the promenade, knowing that the promenade was a very bold structure and that a variety of records may actually not be present in various archives as to what's down there. And so, but that didn't seem to happen. And so the works went on, and people then hit various strange things like elderly gas mains that nobody knew about and stuff. And of course, then the expense increased exponentially. And I think this is something also that's a common thing with projects in not certainly in the UK, government projects in the UK, in that you think of a project and you look at the expense of it, and then you know you can't get it voted through. So then you get a vote for a more limited project that then people progress into and then find problems, and then are far too committed into that project financially to go, right, we're not going to do anything. And so they have to keep going and then ask for votes for more and more money.
So what do you think is the consequence of that? Do you think public confidence is eroded? Do you think it would have been better if they'd said at the beginning, look, this may turn out to be a lot bigger than we thought?
Well, yeah. Well, in one sense, yes, it would have been much better for public confidence to say, actually, this is going to be a whole lot bigger and a whole lot longer in terms of timescale, inconvenience, and far larger in cost. But the problem is that then you wouldn't have public approval for it.
So, in a way, they didn't trust the public's confidence in them.
Well, politics is the art of the possible, and that wouldn't have been the art. That wouldn't have been the extent of the possible.
But Bonzo, everybody knew when they said they were going to do the promenade, there were varying shades of opinion, from firm belief that it will be done on time to other people who said there are things under there even the Victorians didn't know about. And indeed, in some places there were still the patches in the road from the posts of the internment camp in the roads. So it was always going to be a lot bigger than people thought. I just wonder whether they should have said at the beginning...
Well, it was always going to be a lot bigger than people thought. But, of course, the thing is that people have varying lengths of memory. So it's a question of presenting the thing as it is in the recent time, and then saying, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, this needs to be done. And then getting that voted through. Because otherwise, if you actually said, well, actually, the whole place is falling to bits and climate damage, etc., is just going to make it fall down in 40 years. So you've actually got to spend something like 60 to 100 million to replace a whole lot. That's just not going to fly. That's not going to get through Timbuktu.
What's your feeling of confidence in the fact that it's opening at the end of September? How do you think it's going to look?
Which September?
Now. This September.
No, I'm afraid not now. Which September?
Well, they say the end of September this year.
Yes, right. And how long, hang on, how many occasions have they said it'll be done by X?
Yes, many times. But will you give them code?
Probably more than ten.
Will you give them COVID as an excuse, though, Bonzo? Will you give them COVID as an excuse?
No, I'll give them COVID as an issue. I won't give it to them as an excuse, because yes, within the first 6 months, you could say, okay, it's force majeure, that's just something that's just not within our control. But as you could see that these things were ongoing, then you could plan for them, or at least ameliorate them to some extent. And that just doesn't seem to have been the case.
So, to move forward, Bonzo, what do you think? Yeah,
what
do you think the government should do, and what do you think they're capable of doing now?
Well, yes, capability is a thought. Because, as Tim Baker said about various labour shortage problems and other things, I don't think that the government will have the capability to make the problem functional, let alone finish, close brackets.
And do you think the horse tram, will the horse tram tracks go down to the sea terminal?
No, not yet. No way. As I say, I don't think the problem will be operational to any extent before TT22.
Okay. All right, Bonzo, thanks for calling. Have a good weekend.
Cheers.
Bye-bye now. And Chop's with us now. Fastamai, Chop.
Fastamai, Andy, how are you?
We're happy at the radio station today because it's a nice day.
Well, that's it. I woke up this morning and all fingers and toes are materialised. All stations in between are go, so it's been a pretty good day. Just listening to Mr. Baker there this morning. Now, it was actually myself last Wednesday who really sort of pushed Mr. Baker on this promenade. And anyone who knows me will know that from the past, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 months now, I've been saying that this promenade is not going to be done by the time stated by Mr. Baker. And I hate to say it, but again, I was right. Now, anyone, like I said last week on the Man in Line, Andy, anyone with half a brain cell will know that driving along Douglas Promenade, that this promenade is not going to be done by October. Now, I'm actually sat just by the tram station at Summerland here, and I've just driven along the prom. And all outside the Savoy Hotel, all the pavement is still the old existing pavement. All that needs ripping up. The service underneath needs replacing, and the whole lot needs tarmacking. But again, and like I said to Mr. Baker last week, this red concrete, that there's still maybe a couple hundred metres to be poured. There's huge sections of the promenade that are still being developed. Now, where he's getting this figure, or where he's getting this date from, that this promenade is going to be finished by the end of September, absolutely baffles me. But there's no accountability for it, Andy. There's no one prepared to stand up and say that we've got it wrong and the promenade isn't going to be done, because every couple of weeks, Mr. Baker seems to pop his head up and regrettably tell us that this prom's going to be another few weeks delayed.
Tim Baker says he acts on the information he's given. So presumably he's given information, he believes it, he tells the public, and then maybe he's told something else. So Mr. Baker believes what he's told by the people who tell him things.
Well, this is the thing, like I said to him last week, when is he going to stand up to these people and actually tell them what is actually going on rather than what he's getting told. I mean, Mr. Baker surely must know. I've seen him a couple of times. I work on the promenade, and I've seen him a couple of times driving home at the night time, and he must realise that driving along the promenade at the night time, he must think, you know what, this isn't going to be done. So why isn't he sort of going to the newspapers or going to the radio stations and saying, you know, I've got it wrong, you know, and actually sitting down with Alden, who are the contractors, and actually saying to him, you know what, this isn't a realistic timescale when this promenade's going to be finished.
But Chop, you don't expect him to wash government dirty linen in public, do you? You don't expect him to name names or criticise people in public.
It's not criticising people. It's just being honest and being realistic, and with the people who are actually paying for this, which is me and you, Andy. I mean, I'd love to have a show of people who wanted £25 million spent on Chinese granite. I personally would think that the old promenade worked well as it was. The layout was all right. All it needed, and I understand, you know, I work on the prom, and I get the services and the water main, everything needed replacing, but I'd love to have a show of hands who wanted £25 million worth of Chinese granite and who would have been happy with just a fresh coat of tarmac.
Well, nobody knows what everybody's opinion of the promenade is going to be until the day it opens, and that's when everybody's opinion will crystallise. We don't quite know what it's going to look like. Yes, of course, at the moment it looks like a pig's breakfast, and it has done for as long as we can remember, but it may turn out to be terrific. We don't know.
I hope it does, and I've seen the plans, and I've seen digitally made pictures of how it's going to look, and it does look all right. However, I just think that £25 million has been spent of taxpayers' money, which, to be honest, yet has come to no avail, and the whole thing of saying it's going to be done by September, you've still got the tram tracks that stop just between the Empress and at the bottom of Broadway, and again, there's just no... It's all well and good saying it'll be done by September. There seems to be no responsibility. There seems to be no one standing up and saying, you know what, we've got it wrong. And, you know, even if they announced next week and said it's going to be done by Easter next year, everyone would be annoyed. Don't be wrong. Everyone would be up in arms about it. But that, realistically, Andy, is going to be the date by the time everything's finished and all the Harris fencing's off the promenade and all the workmen are off on other jobs and the promenade's fully functional. Personally, from someone that's been here since last September, this promenade is not going to be open by... I'd say 2 weeks, be generous, of next year.
All right. Thanks, Chop. Thanks for calling today.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Now, it's 24 minutes past 12. Somebody just messaged in and said, what's Romanian for man in line? Absent voters' application forms are available at the offices of Onchan District Commissioners. Right, their time limitations are laid down by the Local Elections Absent Voters Regulation 2003. An application by a local government elector to be treated as an absent voter for the purpose of local elections needs to be made to the returning officer to reach him where the absent voter's ballot paper is to be marked in the Isle of Man at least 7 days before the date fixed for the poll. Now, remember, local elections are a week next Thursday. So if you want to get an absent voter's application form, then you need to get to your district commissioners. Onchan has them and the rest of them will have as well. Tony B is with us now. Good afternoon, Tony.
Good afternoon, Andy. Well, I just don't know what to say. The government and the ministers I feel sorry for, it appears that they no longer run the show because they have to just tell us what they're being told. So what my concern is this carrying through to the whole of all the departments? We have a announcement by Tim Baker that we're going to fix the Tramode Road to make it suitable for traffic, bicycles and people. Now, what is that going to achieve? And what is the department doing it for?
So you think the tail's wagging the dog?
I am 100% the tail's wagging the dog. If you ask yourself, Tim Baker has to come on, and so did Harmer before him, and every other person that works for the DOI, because the DOI don't work for them, they work for the DOI. They are the mouthpiece of the DOI. What we should be talking to is who in the DOI is responsible for this project. They should be up on the radio explaining how they missed deadline after deadline after deadline, how they misappropriated funds granted by Tingle for an extension line to the end to the pier, for the tramways because that was approved, but they've reused the funds somewhere else. It goes on and on and on. Whose idea is all this? And it certainly can't be Tim Baker, because I don't know the man, but I can't think he's that stupid. But there's somebody in the DOI who's extremely stupid. And you asked for the copy of the Ipso Mori poll they sent out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to send it to you. Now ask yourself, why are they asking people and residents to fill in a poll when they've got so many complaints from us about roads, and yet their poll is slanted towards, should we have more bikeways? Should we have more cycle lanes? They're missing the point. We have enough cycle lanes. What we need is fixed roads, and that should be their priority. The fact that they took on a project which was way beyond their skill sets, and then excuses after excuses after excuses why they failed to meet targets. And that's not all the contractor's fault. If they'd have told the truth to start with, it would have been, this is going to be a 2.5 to 3 year project. Everybody would have been up in arms, but at least would have known the truth.
Tim Baker maintains it's not going to cost more money, though, Tony.
Yeah, but he's not completed the project as it should be. Why have we got red concrete, for God's sake? Ask yourself, couldn't that money have been better spent? And obviously, the roundel or the Greyhound track at the bottom of Broadway is another brilliant piece of work that nobody seemed to know about. But why wasn't that money spent properly in making a suitable promenade for people? That includes motorists, cyclists, and, of course, those people that walk around the place. And there's lots of those as well. But we don't seem to bother about that. We just do what we want, because that's what the DOI can do. And Mr. Baker has actually said in the past, we don't have to ask people permission. We can just do it, because we're the DOI. The bus lane in St. Ninian's, the cycle lane. Whose brilliant idea was that? What a waste of money.
Oh, do you remember the cycle lane? Do you remember the cycle lane on Lazare Road as well?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's still there, but it doesn't go anywhere, do anything. And there's no central marking, so nobody knows which side of the road they should be on. The same is on the Bramsey Prom. There's no lane markings. So people are driving towards each other on the prom, because the South Prom's got no centre line markings. But we can put a bus lane in and a cycle lane immediately when some idiot in the DOI decides it's a good idea.
Okay, so Tony,
with the government.
So what do we do? I mean, what's the future? If right. If we put Tony in charge, what would you say had to happen?
The first thing has to happen, I don't want to hear Tim Baker. I want to hear from the project manager and the manager of him from the DOI. I want to know how they came up with these wonderful ideas. I want to know what is the budget. I want to see the budget and how it's been changed and what they've spent it on. Because believe me, they haven't spent it on what they were supposed to. Pink concrete and roundels are just an expensive extravagance. Just like putting the granite, like somebody else said, from China all over the island. What was the point?
It seems to be a trend, though, Tony. Do you remember years ago when construction was going wild on the Isle of Man, and when they were building everything? Do you remember there was a company went bust during the Irish scheme? Nobles Hospital went well over budget as well.
I do, but the issue is, if you're going to do a scheme of this magnitude, right? And remember, in those days, it wasn't a problem because we had lots of money because they borrowed the money from the National Insurance Scheme. The hospital. Nowadays, we don't have that money. But nowadays, they still continue to act as though we have an unlimited supply of money, like something like Alf Cannon's printed it for them. It's got to stop.
And you had a point about nobles as well, Tony, didn't you? You had a point about nobles.
Nobles? Ah, yes, I did. I happened to find out that when you go to Nobles on a bank holiday, you can't get a scan. Doesn't matter what's wrong with you, you can't get a scan. We don't do scans on bank holidays. How about that? So we have a health service that only works as long as it's not a bank holiday. So don't get sick on a bank holiday.
All right. Tony, thanks for calling today.
Yeah, just the government or somebody somebody somewhere needs to be held responsible. And it can't be Tim Baker because he doesn't have any control of anything. The person who's got control of it is sitting behind him pulling the strings. That's the person that needs to be standing up and stop this rubbish about they can't be accountable because they're civil servants. They need to be.
All right. Thanks for calling, Johnny.
And the pay. Bye-bye.
All right.
Take care.
It's 28 minutes before one. By the way, the Dolphins are back in Peel Bay, or they were about half an hour ago. If you're in Peel Bay, spot a dolphin, send us a photo. Manx people, by the way, are being advised, and it possibly might be you. You need to plan your pharmacy visits and repeat prescription collections carefully over the next 3 weeks. There is a shortage of pharmacist cover. Due to a severe UK-wide shortage of locum pharmacists, Lloyd's pharmacists have been struggled to provide cover at some of its Manx stores in recent weeks. So if you get your pharmaceuticals, your prescriptions from Lloyd's Pharmacy, then watch out. For the next 3 weeks, they're going to be short of pharmacists. You may have to plan ahead. Man in Line's in session till 1, call 66 13 68. When do you think the prom's going to be finished? No, seriously. Max Radio. Be honest.
Excited about starting your new business but feel daunted by accounts, tax and VAT? Then talk to Nicola Bowker & Co. before you do anything else. From expert advice to getting a helping hand, Nicola Bowker & Co. can help and guide you. Call 861 271.
Now it's ShopRite. You can get our low prices on your favourite national brands, or you could switch and save with our huge range of buy Sainsbury's products for even lower prices. Choose from hundreds of products in store, with more arriving all the time. And the best part, you can enjoy savings of up to 50%. Compromising quality? We are talking Sainsbury's, and you can't say better than that. Sainsbury's at ShopRite, proudly locally owned.
A&B Metals. Gates and railings, balustrades, structural steel, it's our game. Come to the A&B Metals crew, there is nothing we can't do. A&B Metals know the rules, we've all been to metal school. All our teams are skilled to use all the metal working tools.
A&B Metals, for the biggest ranging stock of structural steel and cladding for collection or delivery. Talk to the steel experts today.
Call 623-918-A&B Metals. I am Man Railways.
Tickets are now available for this season's range of onboard dining events, featuring old favourites including the legendary Pie and Mash Train, the Curry Club and many more. Or take your taste buds on a trip to remember with our fabulous Dining Cars of the World and Steam Theme events. To find out what's cooking on the dining car and to book, call 697 457 or visit rail.im.
Jump aboard the time train and take a trip back to the 1960s on Carnaby Street every Saturday morning at 8:30 with Isle of Man Railways. It's full of 60s hits and memories. On board the time train, Gladys the Tea Lady.
Right, boys.
Harry the Driver.
Hello, crispy old mate.
Roger the Fireman.
All aboard Isle of Man Railways time train.
Oh, and Raffles the Dog. And, of course, you and me. You can win tickets for two for one of the Isle of Man Railways' fantastic dining car experiences. Carnaby Street, 8:30, on Manx Radio, on AM FM, online, on smart speakers, and all over the world at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 25 to 1 on Manx Radio. Candy's with us. Hello, Candy.
Hello, Andy. Andy, can I ask, I'm on Quarterbridge Road. I've been listening to The Man in Line for most of it because I've been stuck in the traffic on Quarterbridge Road. Can I ask, why on earth don't they have traffic lights on the Quarterbridge roundabout at peak times to ease the traffic through much better? It works at motorways, it works in England. They have temporary traffic lights that come on and ease the traffic through much easier, because quite frankly, nobody knows how a roundabout works here on the Isle of Man, so we always get the backlogs. But they can cope with traffic lights, can't they?
This is because of Pullrose Bridge being closed in it. Everything's coming down the Castletown Road and turning right to go down the Peel Road.
No, I'm coming down Quarterbridge Road.
Yeah, but the reason that Quarterbridge Road is stuck is because Pullrose Bridge has closed. All the traffic that would go that way into Douglas is now coming down the Castletown Road by the Mill Crease Garage, turning right. So it means that's blocking Quarterbridge Road. So you can be there for half an hour on Quarterbridge Road.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, quite frankly, this is somewhere that actually does need temporary traffic lights until Paul Rose is back up. It's stupid, and I'm cursing because I made the mistake not turning off and cutting through Tremose, quite frankly. I'm so annoyed.
Well, and you've been stuck for how long on Quarterbridge Road, Candy?
Well, let's put it this way. I was listening to probably about 20 minutes, actually. I've been listening to The Man in Line, and it's very interesting.
Well, maybe.
Yes, this is one area that they should actually think about putting temporary traffic lights to ease the congestion coming down Quarterbridge Road.
Well,
quite frankly, that is ridiculous.
All I'll tell you, Candy, is Pullrose Bridge is supposed to be finished next February, so it's going to be like that until then.
Temporary until next February, but they need some traffic lights here because the queues of traffic are just not playing fair at all, are they?
Okay. All right, Kat. Well, you could take up yoga or do some controlled breathing.
I've been trying controlled breathing as well. And can I also just say, because we've just been up to the swab centre, aren't they very super efficient? Aren't they delightful up there? Well done. Very, very good at the grandstands with the swab centre crowd. Very
okay.
good.
Are you busy this weekend, Candy?
Yes, very. And we were terribly busy in Kimmel's and June. And gosh, let's put it this way. At least I'm calm. I'm sat down. I'm in the traffic. It's fine. I'm calm. But I do think they need to think about putting some traffic lights on here to just give Quarterbridge a bit of chance to get through. It's very unfair.
All right. Thanks for have a good weekend, Candy. Thanks for that.
And you. Take care. Bye.
22 minutes before one. If you are heading around Quarterbridge, that's the reason. If you're stuck in traffic, it's the reason that Pullrose Bridge is closed. So the traffic is backed up coming down Castletown Road, turning right onto the Peel Road and stopping Quarterbridge, filtering into the roundabout. That's if everybody understood the double roundabout at Quarterbridge. It's not everybody does. Our candidate today, by the way, our Keys candidate, and you'll hear all the candidates in all the constituencies, Alison Lynch is standing in middle. We'll be hearing from Alison before the end of the show today. We're talking about drugs earlier on this week and problems on the Isle of Man. And Rose Quayle dropped me a note. Thank you, Rose. Rose is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A Manxy with a view from America, and she said, drugs are certainly something you've got to get a handle on the Isle of Man before it gets any worse. Here in the United States, there's such a problem for several reasons, because A, we're on the trade route from South America. There are so many cartels, so it's easy to access the south of the United States. The American mental health system is a shambles to treat addiction on top of that. Insurance coverage is its own mess, with so many Americans not having coverage, so they can't afford treatment at all. There's a stigma of persons with addictions often keeping them from getting treatment. And they've got in America, have a lot of overprescription of opioids that have spurred a whole other type of drug problem. They're the pain-relieving drugs that are readily available in America. Tylenol, things like that. I realise, says Rose, there's a recipe all our own for our own type of drug problems, but at this point, I'd wager there aren't even any small towns left in America without a major drug issue. That's Rose Quayle from Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania. Something we'll talk about more, and thanks to everybody who's been passing me information and experiences of what's been happening in their lives or families' lives. Everything is treated confidentially, but we're just getting a very clear picture of the situation on the Isle of Man. I have to say, it's not terribly pretty. David dropped me a note just to say, Andy, the prom contractor claims that a lack of sufficient workers is the reason for the delay in completing the works. Those that are available should therefore be used where they're most needed. When I walked past the other day, I noticed there were quite a number of men engaged on the construction of the cultural centre outside the Sefton Hotel. This is the least important aspect of the scheme that should have been deferred until the end of the project. And the workers involved redeployed on what matters most, the completion of the new carriageway. I'm looking forward to seeing the work completed, perhaps on Christmas Day, says David. And let's go to Chris now. Hello, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Before I get shot down in flames, one of your correspondents called me a whinging old Cockney person. But no, I was talking about the Moray Pole, about the footpaths and cycleways and roadways. It's a funny old questionnaire because it actually mentions metro trains and things like that in it. So I think they sort of hijacked it from the UK.
Oh, it's a cut and paste job, is it?
Yeah, I think so. When we haven't got metro trains here, have we? So no.
Have you filled the questionnaire out at all?
Yeah, I filled out two questions and put on the note on the back of saying sorry. The questions were just getting stupid. They were trying to trick me, thinking that I'm thick and not answering the same question twice. So it's a waste of their time and my time. And you know, I don't know what to say really.
You're not driving a tram, are you, Chris?
It's just going up from Ramsey now.
All right.
I've come indoors. It's all right.
Right. Thanks for calling.
Okay, cheers.
Must be lovely today on the Heritage Railway. It'd be gorgeous. A message in just to say this year, next year, sometime, never, take your pick. My bet is because the bit's already done will need redoing, says Rosby. The latest half-baked excuse for the incompetent disaster that is the prom. It's beyond belief, says John. In the news this morning, says this correspondent, the government failed to put in mitigation for vulnerable people. This is regarding COVID. The view of the Parents of Manx Vulnerable Children Group is calling for more protection for those who aren't vaccinated, says James in Castletown. I feel very sorry for the families involved. These are the families who have children with vulnerabilities. Well, now the borders are largely open to most travellers. Many people are returning to the shores for the first time since the pandemic hit us. Many people are coming back. So how does Manx life under COVID compare with the rest of the UK? We actually found some people who've recently come back and asked them.
So what differences have been noticed by those who've been living under a permanent regime of social distancing, mask wearing or QR code scanning? Michael Diaz spent his teenage years at Ramsey Grammar School and now lives in the UK working for a recruitment agency in Chesterfield. He came back to the island last week to see his family.
What was daunting for me was no masks, no social distancing. We went to, we caught up with quite a lot of friends on the Friday, which was in a pub. It was quite strange, you know, for the first half an hour, there's a live band on, but there was no social distancing, there was no sitting down, and people over there didn't realise when I was telling them, where I would walk into a pub over here or a restaurant, you know, be mask on, you'd be seated. The only time you take your mask off is when you're seated, but if you need to go to the toilet, you put your mask back on. You would order your food, your drinks, everything off a QR app. So you'd scan the table, you'd get an app on your phone, you would order everything off that. And other things like when they bring drinks to your table on a tray, you take the drinks off, not the staff.
Marketing director of Cool Road-based IFGL, Simon Barwell, left the island as soon as the pandemic began to work from his home with his family in Cheshire. He recently returned and has highlighted his twin experiences.
The biggest striking difference when I landed and walked around the Isle of Man, I had my two vaccines a long time ago. What I noticed was the lack of social distancing, the lack of face masks, people shaking hands, doing the things that you've already been doing for a while. In the UK, it's now become second nature. If somebody stands within your 1 meter area, you sort of naturally move away.
Some have argued that the island's comparatively smaller brush with COVID has meant some aren't as cautious or concerned as counterparts in the UK are about this virus. Anita Hogarth, who lives in Lancashire, recently travelled back to the island. She says it should be taken very seriously.
The people I've spoken to that have had it, it is horrible. Yes, there are a few that got away with no symptoms and things, but even, you know, quite young people really suffer, and they do have long COVID issues. You know, they do go for quite a long time after.
With a decision for England's Freedom Day set to be taken next week, it remains to be seen what impact this may have on our government's current approach.
I noticed driving down Douglas Promenade last night, quite a few coaches. Apparently there are quite a few coach parties on the Isle of Man from across, so all we can say is hello, welcome to civilization. Balderdash, says Paul, saving it will save money by getting the DOI to do some of the work. That's just creative accounting. How can that save money? You're just paying people from the DOI to do the work that other people have been paid already to do. There should be a penalty clause, says Graham, to cover this. When I worked in Jersey, all jobs had a penalty clause. It works because they make sure the guys do the prom properly. I've driven down there. Also, the same job with Ramsey Station Road, says Graham. Here's a note in that just says, why on earth did a firm that had to rely on off-island work force to complete a job get the contract in the first place? I still don't think the St Mary's School job is completely finished yet as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if the DOI has to finish the job. I was told months ago it won't be done before Christmas, says John. There are lots of Manx rumours flying about what's going to be happening on the prom. Question in from Jenny, who just said, what's the story on that AstraZeneca, that Indian stuff? Well, the word is, these are the Indian the batches that we were talking about last week. Isle of Man residents who've got the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine are being assured apparently no doses branded Covishield have been administered in the Isle of Man. Covishield is manufactured by the Serum Institute of India and hasn't been approved by the European Medicines Agency, the EMA. It's led to concerns that anyone who got the Covishield vaccine would not be able to travel to the EU free from testing and isolation restrictions despite being fully vaccinated. The majority of the UK's 100 million dose supply of AstraZeneca vaccines, which the UK government supplies to the Manx government, were manufactured in Wales and Staffordshire, apparently. 5 million doses were manufactured by the Serum Institute of India. Regardless of the place of manufacture, all AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccines administered in the Isle of Man, says the government, and the UK are approved by the EMA. So we're all safe then.
Athol Garage in Ballasalla is more than a Nissan authorised repair centre. Their team of highly factory-trained and experienced technicians will service and repair any make and model, with dedicated aftercare too. With Athol, you get a competitive fixed-price menu and a courtesy car if needed. Pity this driver didn't know that.
Oh, great! I told you to go to Athol!
Athol, a garage to swear by, not swear at. Book now at athol.im or call the A-team, 820082.
You're sure to find something fabulous at Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers.
From stunning gold and silver jewellery that you can make extra special with an engraved message, to local prints and gifts for every occasion, Ramsey Art Gallery also stock a fantastic range of watches, including Ted Baker, Citizen, Storm and Accurist.
Plus Seconda, Timex, Sexy and Bulova.
All with lifelong free strap adjustment. You'll love what you find in store when you visit Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers, opposite the RNLI shop in Ramsey.
Choose Milan Vets for your farm animal care. Expert services include export examinations, routine and post-import blood sampling, along with ultrasound scanning and fertility work. Milan Vets also offer herd health plans for farm assurance. Farmers can also order in advance to receive discounted medications. Visit online at milanvets.co.uk or call today on 674 532. Milan Veterinary Practice, caring for all creatures, great and small.
Can-do is more than just an attitude. Can-do is making a world of difference in a different world. It's a team of specialists aiming to make more of your money. Can-do is a fruitful relationship built on your terms. Can-do is Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. Visit candowealth.com to see how we can help you build your wealth with confidence. Canaccord Genuity Wealth International Limited is licensed for investment business by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Suzanne's with us. Hello, Suzanne.
Hi there. Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I just, unless I've misunderstood it, just a couple of minutes ago you were saying that
the COVIShield one, you gave, I think there's three certain vaccine numbers. You were told they've not been administered on the island here.
Well, according to the Department of Health and Social Care, they say no doses branded COVIShield have been administered.
Well, somebody's then written it wrongly on my little card when I had my vaccination, because I have one of those three numbers written on my card on my second jab.
And where did you have your jab?
At the airport. And also, as somebody else I know had the same one about 3 days before me.
Oh, cry.
So unless somebody's got it wrong, I can't believe they've written it down. My first jab began with an AZ and a number, but the second one began with that 4, and I can't remember the full number of it, ending with 01. So I've certainly got that, and somebody else I know has certainly been. Round about the 19th of March it was.
Okay. All right. Thanks for bringing that up, Suzanne.
Okay.
Good All to right, talk thanks. To you. It's 9 minutes before one.
The Isle of Man General Election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
Well, our man in line, you'll hear all the candidates who declared for the House of Keys general election. Alison Lynch is standing in middle. Currently, the two middle MHKs are departing. Howard Quayle will not be standing. Bill Shimmins will not be standing. Alison Lynch is. The other candidates, David Fowler, Kieran Hannafin, Stu Peters and Jane Paul Wilson. Alison is currently chair of Moran Commissioners, and Alison explains why she wants to make the move to Manx national politics.
I think the frustration for a local authority and any commissioner, and I'm sure my colleagues and other authorities will back me up here, is that the frustration of not being able to be heard and sometimes not being taken seriously.
Who aren't you heard by and who aren't you taken seriously by?
Well, there's various issues in all local authorities. I'm not going to name names. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, do I? But it's frustrating because the local authorities know their local area. At times, we are just, our voices aren't heard.
So you haven't got enough power then as a local authority member?
Maybe not enough power, but also I don't think we're listened to enough either. Because, as I say, we know the area. We know where we live. We know what's best for our parish. So, you know, please, please listen to us. And, you know, if I was successful, I would maybe like that to happen, for national government to listen to local government a lot more.
And if you were one of 24 MHKs elected in September, what would you do to try and make sure that happened?
Speak to one of the other 20 or a number of the other 23 MHKs. I'm sure there are a lot who feel the same way and would maybe even welcome an offload of some work to local government or taking advice from local government.
Alison, how can you guarantee that if you were elected, you'd be able to adopt a more nationally focused mindset and not just be concerned about what might be thought of as parish pump politics?
I don't think anybody going into politics can make any sort of guarantee. I think it's very difficult to make promises and guarantees as much as we'd love to. I don't think anybody can really do that. All I can say to people is that I will take their issues on board, and not just local issues, but national issues, and I will take them on board, and I will try my hardest to make a difference for people. And, you know, at the end of the day, I care for people. And not just in Moran, you know, I have family who live all over the Isle of Man, and I try and help them out as well.
How well do you understand the difference between the role of a commissioner and the role of an MHK?
There is a huge difference. Our MHKs in Middle have been very supportive of the local authority over the last 5 years, have attended our board meetings.
So they're not the people who weren't listening to you then?
No, they listened to us and have helped us out as well. On some occasions, it may have been just a word in the ear of another minister or another MHK in another department. You know, but both our MHKs have been there to support us.
So is that how you'd envisage getting things done, having the quiet word behind the scenes?
I'm very transparent. And I have been all along in local politics. Anything that I do will be totally transparent and I'll be answerable to my colleagues and the public.
For more general election coverage, including candidate profiles, full interviews, videos, manifestos and more, visit the Manx Radio General Election mini-site at manxradio.com.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
Peter the Painter dropped a note in, said, Andy, Douglas Promenade will have a dedicated snagging and repair team for years to come after the present jobs are signed off. Peter the Painter knows all about that. Thank you, Peter. A message from Derek, who just said, never mind the Promenade. The Promenade just pales into insignificance. We've got the Bee Gees back on the Isle of Man. Great to see the Bee Gees statue. Robin, Barry and Morris. Just by Regent Street in Douglas. That's it for Man in Line this week. Thanks for being along. We were at Timwell Day on Monday, live at QE2 on Wednesday. And back on Monday with another open line. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern. I'm Andy Wint. Have a great weekend.
W.I.